Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then... You get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
We are rolling along on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo, whether you're on the podcast or on the radio show. We appreciate you, as always, being here and joining us. And we do have a Big 12 team in the Final Four for the first time in 3 years. It was KU in 22, the last Big 12 team in a Final Four. So here we are, the Houston Cougars, of course, getting set to take on Duke on Saturday night. Matthew Postens, our lead Big 12 basketball writer, is here joining us. And I will say, Matthew, it feels good. If the Big 12 didn't make the Final Four for a third straight year and we had three SEC teams in this thing, which we would have had, I would have just killed myself. It would have been ugly. But you know what? thankfully, we got a Big 12 team in there. So life is good right now. How you feeling?
Yeah, I feel good. I think Houston has more than earned it. They got to the Final Four in 21 when Baylor won. They were in the American Athletic Conference back then. But, this is great for their program. They've had three periods of sustained success as a program going back to the 60s. Obviously, Guy V. Lewis in the 80s, and now, Kelvin Sampson's got them back in a position where they can do something that no other Houston team has done before, which is win a Final Four and win a national championship.
And what do you make of the fact that we have 4-1 seeds here? It's been a very chalky tournament to this point. And we've seen it before, but is this going to become more of the norm as the transfer portal continues to be just pay for play? Is the Cinderella more or less dead in the NCAA tournament, or is that overstating it?
It might be overstating it a little bit right now. I think I'd like to see a little bit more data before we go to that point. But it is interesting because I went to a low to mid-major school, Stephen F. Austin. And I mean, most of our roster is bare right now. And we just hired Texas Tech's assistant to be our head coach. We've only got two players coming back. The rest of them are in the portal and they're looking for a better opportunity. And those better opportunities are going to be at bigger schools with bigger budgets and bigger NIL money. So there's a case to be made, 5-6 years ago before the portal, before all this NIL, that mid-majors were catching up because not every kid can go play basketball at Kansas. Now with the portal, with NIL, with the opportunity to share revenue, you can make a case that in a few years the schools that I went to will be kind of priced out of this and almost be feeder schools for these bigger schools. And now you have athletic directors like Grambling State's athletic director today just said, we should get if you take one of our players, we should get a cut. Like, we should get some kind of a transfer fee. He's not the only athletic director out there that is making noise about that right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, and I'm open to any of them. The problem is there's no one to set the darn rules right now. The NCAA is totally worthless, and there's no one else in charge. So until there is someone in charge or something in charge, I don't see how this gets fixed anytime soon.
Yeah, and the power conferences are supposed to run this new NIL validation service that is going to make sure that athletes don't get pay for play and don't get more than their market value. What we don't know is who's going to set market value. It sounds like it's going to be Deloitte. Who's going to enforce the rules? We don't know who's going to do that. So, and besides, if you're a power conference school, you're not going to do anything that would, jeopardize your financial bottom line. So you're not going to pay a change fee to another school for taking one of their players. So yeah, you're right. I mean, as much as we've talked about revenue sharing and the fact that it's coming and the fact that it's the right thing to do, there are still so many things that have not been decided, and there's no apparatus around it at this point that I can see that leads me to believe that anything's really going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Matthew Postens is joining us on the show. So let's talk about this game. Houston, Duke, obviously the biggest star is Cooper Flagg, but man, there is so much to like about this Houston team, Matthew. The question, though, becomes, how do you, if not stop Cooper Flagg of Duke, how do you at the very least slow him down?
Well, that's a good question, and I've been kind of thinking about that the last few days. Houston doesn't have an obvious player that would be a one-for-one good matchup with Cooper Flagg. I mean, They've got guys that have the size to keep up with them. You know, like a Jawan Roberts, they have the guys that can that have the speed to keep up with them. But nobody has the combination of both. I think the closest approximation in terms of defense that Houston has is Malik Wolfson. I think he's the only guy on their roster that has enough length to make life difficult for Cooper Flagg and has the speed to keep up with them both in the full court and the half court. Houston is a tremendous man-to-man defensive team. In fact, they're the number one scoring defense in college basketball right now. The problem is Duke is like the number nine scoring offense in the country right now. And they're also the number nine scoring defense. So as good as Houston is defensively, Duke is just as good on the defensive end. I think the trick is going to be with Cooper Flagg. You've got to run him through everything on the defensive end. In other words, he's going to have to defend somebody defensively. You need to wear him out on that end, run him through screens, run him through action, make him chase whoever he's defending on the other side of the floor so that maybe he doesn't have, you know, all of his wind under him when he gets on the offensive end. So it's, to me, you could do some things on the offensive end that can tire him out and, you know, make him a little bit less effective on the offensive end from a defensive standpoint, if that makes any sense. You want to make life difficult for him playing defense in the hope that it will make his life a little bit more difficult playing offense.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying there. That makes a lot of sense. Now, you think about this Houston team, and I know they're a one seed, Matthew, and listen, we know how well they're playing. But if you were to ask the casual, the average college basketball fan who's going to watch this weekend who the hottest team is, they probably wouldn't pick Houston, even though Houston has one loss since November 30th, and it's a one-point loss to Texas Tech. I just don't think that this team is getting the credit it deserves for the run that it's currently on. Do you?
No, I don't think they are either, and I also think that Kelvin Sampson and company really don't care that much. This is a team that has been one of the best teams in college basketball all year. Their four losses are to Tech, Auburn, San Diego State, and I believe Alabama was the other loss.
Yes.
So it's not like they're losing to anybody weak. They lost to three teams that got to the elite, to the Sweet 16 this year. So they're not losing to anybody weak. They can compete with anybody in the country. They're built around the whole of their team. There's no one player that is a night in, night out Cooper Flagg type of player. One night it's LJ Cryer. One night it's Emmanuel Sharp. One night it's Jawan Roberts. They win games because they wear you down defensively. They can play any different kind of pace. They can run all sorts of different defensive looks at you. Kelvin Sampson's one of the best in-game adjusters in the business. Just look at the adjustment that he made in the Big 12 championship game against Arizona. Arizona found a way to deflate their high screen action in the first half by sending out Henry Bisar to, you know, slow down ball handlers as they're coming off the screen. So in the second half, Kelvin Sampson just said, okay, well, we're going to let our guards set our screens. And that completely neutralized that adjustment by Arizona and helped them win the game. So, you know, I trust Kelvin Sampson. He's got a toolbox as big as anybody's. And I would bet defensively, you're going to see a lot of man-to-man. But I would not bet against him running a little junk defense too at Duke. Maybe a box and one. Maybe a 2-3 zone. Maybe a diamond press. Just not for any long length of time, just enough to kind of shift the gears quick, because when you're playing a team like Duke, it isn't just Cooper Flagg. It's also Tyrese Proctor. It's also their functional bigs. And you've got to find ways to keep them off balance throughout the game.
Yeah, you know, excellent points. And I will add to that and say, just thinking about Kelvin Sampson and what his future holds, I don't want to think like this, but we all know he's closer to the 18th hole than he is the first hole. Do you see him? And we know that, you know, his son is there and, you know, the guy in waiting is what we understand here. Could he go out on top of the national championship and call it a career?
I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing for him. I mean, he's done everything you can do in college basketball except win a national championship. Mm-hmm. He has been on the record as saying that, you know, no matter what happens this year, it doesn't change his math. He intends to come back next year. But that was last week at the Sweet 16, and then, you know, you're asking him to kind of theorize ahead on what he might do. And, you know, having gotten to know Kelvin a little bit the last couple of years, that's not really stuff he's interested in talking about at that particular point in time. So the championship, if they win it, might change his math a little bit. I mean, he has nothing left to prove. I think he's going in the College Basketball Hall of Fame and the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame with or without a national championship. But certainly there is that idea of if you win a title, you're losing Juwan Roberts, you're losing LJ Cryer, you're losing several other guys. Maybe that's the perfect time for you as a coach to you know, head to the golf course, to use your analogy, and just enjoy the rest of your life, because he's got family there in Houston. His son is poised to take over for him when he's ready, and he's earned it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Listen, I've heard Kelvin Sampson do these interviews lately where he talks about building a program in the NIL era, and he's like, I just don't take headaches. I don't take mistakes. Listen, you're going to take one at some point. You're going to take a couple at some point just because you miss. And he has not missed, to his credit, on recruiting and transfer portal guys. It feels like it's the last of an era with the old school head coach, with guys who are playing for each other. It's not just a conglomerate of individuals. This is a true, it's cliche, but it's a real team there at Houston. It's special. And I don't know if you can ever duplicate in this environment what Houston has had this year and last year. And of course, if not for the Jamal Shedd injury last year, who knows how last year plays out?
Yeah, I think they might go to the Final Four if Jamal Shedd doesn't get hurt. I mean, that's the biggest difference between last year's team and this year's team. This year's team is relatively healthy. I mean, Terrence Arsenault is still dealing with a little bit of a foot thing, but pretty much everybody else in this team is healthy. And we had no idea how banged up they were last year. I mean, Juwan Roberts needed surgery. I think LJ Cryer had surgery in the offseason. Obviously, Jamal Shedd needed time to recover before he joined the NBA. I mean, they were far more banged up than they let on. And I think that tells you something about who they are as a culture and who they are as a program, that they're not going to make excuses for why they didn't get as far as they did. I mean, obviously injuries played a role in that, but they're not going to use that as an excuse. They're just going to figure out a way to win that game. And, you know, that's why I like their chances against Duke. That's why I like their chances against the field here in the Final Four. They're the one team that I feel like just seems to find a way whenever it really matters to make a basket, to get a defensive stop, to get a rebound, to, you know, make that big shot at the end of the game. They've got guys that can do all of those things, and they always seem to have that perfect timing to do that one thing that makes a difference in whether the game goes south or not.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So what are you thinking then? I'll go first. I mean, I think Houston can pull this thing off. I think it's going to be a great game. Maybe one of the games of the tournament. I'm going to say Houston. If they can keep this thing in the 70s, obviously, they'll sign up for that in a heartbeat. Give me Houston, 75, Duke, 71. Flag is held to, I'll say, 24 points. It's a good game, not an incredible game. And Houston gets a couple of big stops down the stretch.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think the one big key in this game is going to be three-point shooting. Both teams shoot the three very well. Houston's one of the best in the country at it. The difference between the two of them is volume. Houston has shot about roughly 750 threes this year. Duke has shot about 1,000. And Duke's percentage is about a percentage and a half behind Houston. So Duke lives on volume. Houston lives on efficiency. The more efficient Houston is from behind the three-point line, the more it's going to favor them. This needs to be a game to me where they shoot 50 from the floor, but they also shoot 50 from the three-point line, or pretty close to that. If they do that, it gives them a really good chance to offset the sheer amount of threes that Duke will shoot. They don't shoot threes like Tech did in the first round of the tournament, but they shoot a lot more threes than Houston typically does.
But also, they got to play this game at their pace. They can't play it at Duke's pace, right?
Mm-hmm. No, they can't. Duke wants to run. Houston's going to have to find a way to slow them down. That's why I think you're going to see them, you know, do some press in the full court. Not necessarily to speed them up, but just to kind of slow them down, token press. You're going to see them trap a lot more at the wings to try and put Cooper Flagg and Tyrese Proctor in bad offensive situations and make them make bad passes. They're going to find ways to force Duke to have to use most of the shot clock just to get a good shot.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, man. I think it's going to be a heck of a Final Four. I am really excited. And, of course, from the Big 12 perspective, we are all in on the Cougars this weekend. So great stuff, Matthew Postens, lead basketball writer at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. We appreciate it, my man.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, and have a great Final Four.
He's Matthew Postens. I'm Pete Mundo. We will wrap up the show coming up next.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Final few minutes on Heartland College Sports Weekly, part of HeartlandCollegeSports.com, your independent Big 12 digital media outlet. This is something that came up on Thursday of this week. ESPN's Heather Dinich reporting that leaders from the college football playoff met in Dallas on Thursday to discuss a straight seeding model for the playoff that could go into effect as early as this season. So here's what this would mean. The five highest-ranked conference champions would still be included, which is what we have right now, right? Basically, the Power Four conference champs are guaranteed. But they would not be guaranteed the bye. Right now, the 12-team playoff is set up as such where 1 through 4 are seeded based on conference champions. That's why Arizona State got the 4 seed last year. They would not have been the 4 seed. They might have been the 11th seed, give or take, last year, had they had a straight seeding model. So that is something that is potentially going to change going forward. Dinich wrote that college football leaders are meeting in Dallas, where multiple sources indicate their strong support to move to a straight seeding model this fall, while continuing to include the five highest-ranked conference champs. There are some, though, who want to tie the discussion into 2026, as the commissioners are expected to have more substantive talks about the format in 26 and beyond. So we know that the SEC wants multiple bids guaranteed. We know the Big Ten wants the same thing. We know that they will try to run roughshod over the Big 12 and the ACC and the Group of Five if they have their way. I have been adamant that the Big 12 should not allow that to happen and that Brett Yormark should basically stand on his own 2 feet. And listen, he's done an amazing job of that, but I firmly believe that he has to basically put his foot down and say, no, it's BS. We're not going to let you guys get automatic bids. We are not going to play that game. I would be willing to give this to the Big Ten and the SEC. And let's be clear, that's who it benefits. My fear, though, is that it would be still a situation of nonstop SEC, Big Ten trying to grab one more straw. Just get a little bit more, right? That's what they desperately want. See, they want their auto bids. They want straight seeding. I would give them straight seeding for not having auto bids. This has to be a unanimous decision as well to change the playoff format. So there's got to be some backroom deal here where the Big 12 and the ACC are not getting screwed. If not, they're just folding to the whims and the wants of the SEC and the Big 10. And I don't think that's good for anybody. So that's something that needs to be brought up here as part of the conversation when you talk about the future of the college football playoff, because it also costs money. The Arizona State Sun Devils getting a bye into the second round made them millions of dollars, because each round you would get millions of dollars for getting to it. So the automatic bid teams got millions of dollars just by getting a bye. Now, I'm not saying that's the fairest thing in the world and that's the way to do this. I'll readily admit that Arizona State was not worthy of a 4 seed in that playoff, although they gave Texas, obviously, a hell of a run for their money. But if you got some cards here, which the Big 12 does have cards based on the fact that these decisions need to be unanimous, then I'm willing to negotiate. I'm willing to say, you want straight seeding? Fine. What are we getting in return? What will and what does that look like? And if the Big Ten and the SEC come back and they say, screw you guys, we're going to do what we want to do, and we'll just leave you for basically NFL minor league, I guess, I would call their bluff. I think that they need the rest of college football more than some people in power in those two conferences realize right now. There's a lot of chest pumping out there. There's a lot of people who don't think they need anybody else outside of themselves in the SEC and the Big Ten. I don't believe for the health of college football that's true. If you want to break off and try this whole minor league NFL thing, I see how it works, because there is a lot of moving parts right now. And I don't think it's all roses if they were to just break this thing off and decide that they are going their own way. I'm not convinced that that's something that would definitely work in their favor. So that's where I'm at on it. And we are going to be certainly writing and talking about this a lot more in the days ahead at heartlandcollegesports.com, where we cover the Big 12. If you are not on the forums, check them out. They are free. Go to heartlandcollegesports.com, click on the forums tab. We're on there all the time as a staff, just talking Big 12 with readers and listeners from across the conference. So sign up. It's free. We don't look for anything out of you. And we'd love to see you on there. And if you miss our radio show, which you're listening to right now, well, you can always find us on the podcast, Apple, Spotify. And if you are on the podcast right now, well, would you leave that 5-star rating and review? Would you do that for me? It helps the show tremendously. And it's just a great way for us to find that new audience as we continue to grow this operation at heartlandcollegesports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you, as always, to our radio affiliates as well. And go Houston Cougars. Beat Duke. We're rooting to get that Big 12 team into a championship game. Let's see if they can make that happen on Saturday night. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.